for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the
United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Gregory, can we do a roll call, please?
Commissioner McLaren.
Present.
Commissioner Maynard.
Present.
Commissioner Ramirez. Vice Chair Smith.
Present.
Chair Fullerton.
Present. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the public forum. This is the time for any member of the public to speak on any item not on the agenda. Do we have any members of the public wanting to speak?
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on an item not on today's agenda please click on the raise hand icon now? And Chair Fullerton, there's no one at this time.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
Madam Chair, we have no amendments or adjustments.
Okay, then the first item is the administrative agenda. Ms. Gregory, can you please read this into the record?
Item A1 is approval of the Planning Commission meeting minutes of Monday, May 23rd, 2022.
Okay, do we have any comments about these minutes from May 23rd? We have a motion for approval.
I'd move to approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes of Monday, May 23rd. It's 2022. I think there's a typo on my agenda.
Oh yeah, definitely 2022. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Okay, can we get a roll call vote?
Okay, Commissioner McLaren.
Aye.
Commissioner Maynard.
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith.
Aye.
Chair Fullerton.
Aye. Can you please read the next item into the record?
Item A2 is approval of the Planning Commission meeting minutes of Monday, June 22nd, 2022.
Do we have any comments for these minutes from Monday, June 27th? No comments. Does anyone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion for the approval of the Planning Commission meeting minutes of Monday, June 27th, 2022.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Greger. Can you do a roll call vote?
Commissioner McLaren.
Aye.
Commissioner Maynard.
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith.
Aye.
Chair Fullerton.
Aye. Okay, Ms. Breyer, can you please read the next item into the record?
Item B2 is a public hearing. It's the proposed amendment to development agreement for the SciWest Goleta Gardens, LLC, located at 907 South Kellogg Avenue, APN 071-190-035, case number 22-0003-ORD.
Okay, before we start, can we do declarations so we don't forget? Let's start with Commissioner McLaren. Do you have any declarations?
Relating to this item or other items?
To this item.
I have nothing to declare for this item.
Vice Chair Smith?
No ex parte communications or anything else to disclose?
Commissioner Maynard?
No ex parte communications.
Okay, and I do not have any ex parte communications and no site visit. Okay, so can we start? Do we have a staff report?
sure, Chair Fullerton. Before we begin, I just want to introduce Supervising Senior Planner Kathy Allen, who will be giving the presentation this evening.
Thank you, Ms. Brasi. Good evening, Chair Fulton and Commissioners. The proposed project was before the Planning Commission last year in March, and tonight I'll be presenting the original project briefly along with the current request. So the project site is located at 907 South Kellogg Avenue, which is the location of the existing West Wind Drive-In Theater at the end of South Kellogg Avenue. The site is also located in the coastal zone. The original development agreement approved by the City Council in 2021 granted a license to the city to use a private access road to the San Jose Creek Channel in exchange for an extension of the deadline to use the city's former zoning ordinance to December 31, 2023. The current request before you tonight is to amend the DA to add the optional date of when the Coastal Commission certifies the city's local coastal program. So the date of the deadline would be December 31st, 2023, or the date of the Coastal Commission, the date that the Coastal Commission certifies the local coastal program, whichever occurs first. Regarding some background about the proposed development project associated with the DA, in 2017, the applicant submitted a development plan application for an industrial building, parking, and related site improvements. During the beginning of the CEQA process, the applicant requested to place the application on hold. While the application was on hold, the city adopted Title 17, which included new building height standards that would affect the proposed development. Due to the changes in the height limits in Title 17, the applicant decided to apply for a development agreement so that they may still use the development standards of the city's original zoning code. City Council approved this DA on May 18th, 2021, and on April 6, 2022, the Coastal Commission approved the DA with the condition that the extension date to use the original zoning code expire on December 31st, 2023, or the date the Coastal Commission certifies the city's local coastal program. So in general, development agreements allow projects to seek vested rights in exchange for a public benefit. California Government Code Section 65864 and Section 65865 have standards for agencies to use for DAs. The Goleta Municipal Code incorporates government code guidance and Municipal Code Section 17.65. Planning Commission recommends approval of DAs to the City Council. In summary, the Goleta Gardens LLC SciWest Development Agreement Amendment complies with the Municipal Code Section 17.65. The Development Agreement Amendment findings can be made to support the approval of the DA amendment, and the project can be found exempt from CEQA per CEQA guidelines 15061B3. With that, staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the proposed resolution that recommends to the City Council, number one, approval of the Goleta Gardens LLC SciWest Development Agreement Amendment and approval of the Notice of Exemption. That concludes my presentations, and I'm available for questions if you have any.
Thank you, Ms. Allen. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? I see a no from Commissioner Maynard. Are there any questions from Commissioner McLaren or Vice Chair Smith? Commissioner McLaren?
I have a quick question. What's the anticipated date that this city will develop or have their local coastal, I forget what it's called, but their local coastal program?
I'll defer to Mr. Imhoff.
Chair and Commissioner, I can address that. We don't have a set date yet when the local coastal program will be certified. We're still working with Coastal Commission staff on policy details. It's probably at least a couple of years off. It is likely that there will be changes, policy changes, that Coastal Commission staff will recommend that we'll have to bring through this commission and onto the council for consideration before we're ready to submit it to the Coastal Commission for consideration, and then it will be at least a year from that point until certification.
So I have a follow-up question. So it appears that the date, the caveat that we're, or the line that we're adding, that would add something to say that could potentially make the development agreement expire earlier, correct? If the Coastal Commission certification was finished earlier, but sure. There's no,
sorry.
Is that correct? Like this could not potentially move out the date at all. This could only potentially move it earlier.
Chair Fulton, that's correct. It would just be the earliest of the two dates.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay, then let's see if there is any public comment for this item.
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please turn in a speaker slip or raise your hand on the raise hand icon? Thank you. Chair Fullerton, I have two speaker slips, and I also have noticed that two persons have requested to speak. The first one is Irene Russo. Is she here? Okay. Yes, please come up to the podium. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I have Bill Vieira who wishes to speak, if you'd go up to the podium. And you have 3 minutes to speak.
Oh, pardon me. Is he my? Is your microphone on?
It's on now.
Should I start? Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Myself.
Feel free to start over.
Good evening. My name is Bill Vieira. I'm with SciWest Development, and I wanted to thank staff and city attorney for the time that was taken to make this amendment. I'm here tonight to answer any questions, and I'm available if anybody has anything that they'd like to address with us. So, and thank you again.
Thank you. Was there a second speaker?
I see a list. On the list, I have Kaylin Baird. Do you wish to speak at this time? She's a participant online. Okay, Kaylin, you have 3 minutes to speak. Please unmute yourself.
Hi, thank you, Commission, for allowing me to speak. My name is Kaylin Baird. I'm a local business owner in Goleta. I run a manufacturing business. I've had the pleasure of seeing the applicants in motion at various times in our community, especially Travis. Seeing him generously support the first responders through the 1805. He's an amazing person to be spearheading this business. And I just wanted to say that we are excited to have him in the business community.
Thank you, Mr. Baird. Any other speakers?
Sorry.
If we don't have any other speakers, we will close.
Excuse me, Steve Hayes, if you wish to speak on this item, which is the SciWest development, would you please click on the hand raise icon now? Okay, thank you. Okay, we are finished with for now.
Okay, thanks. So we'll go ahead and close public comment. Do we have any comments from the commissioners? Commissioner Maynard.
This feels like a reasonable and appropriate request and helps us to move forward our local coastal program. So I'm in support of this proposal.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments? I see Commissioner Chair Smith shaking her head. Commissioner McLaren shaking his head. I echo Commissioner Maynard. It seems reasonable, and I don't see any reason not to support it. So can we go ahead? Is there a motion? Would someone like to make a motion?
Chair Fullerton, can you please close the public hearing?
Oh, I thought I did, but we will officially close the public hearing.
Thank you.
So can we get a motion? Commissioner Maynard, can you unmute?
Yes. Okay. I'd like to make a motion for a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, recommending to the City Council approval of a development agreement amendment to provide that the term of the development agreement must not extend beyond the date the Coastal Commission certifies the city's local coastal program, or December 31st, 2023, whichever occurs first. 907 South Kellogg Avenue, case number 22-0003-ORD.
Do we have a second?
I second that.
Hey, Ms. Gregory, can we get a roll call vote?
Commissioner McLaren?
Aye.
Commissioner Maynard?
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith?
Aye.
Chair Fullerton?
Aye. Motion approved. Ms. Gregory, can you please read the next item into the record?
Before I start, Kaylin Baird, I believe you spoke a while ago, but the item you may be wanting to speak on is the item that we're having now. We just wanted to let you know this is the Elwood project. Okay, thank you. Item B2 is a public hearing is the conditional use permit and design review for Elwood Recreational Vehicle, RV Boat Contractor, outdoor storage use at 35 Elwood Station Road, APN 079-210-066, case number 20-0003-CUP.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Gregory. Before we start, can we do declarations? Start with Commissioner Maynard.
I met on Zoom with Galera McCon last week to review the project. I did not learn anything from Ms. McCon that was not on the public record.
Commissioner McLaren?
I met in person with Jalare on Thursday and did a walk of the property. Outside of that, there was no other ex parte communication.
Vice Chair Smith?
Yes, a couple disclosures. I consulted with the city attorney's office. I do reside within 790 feet of the project with a month-to-month leasehold. We reviewed the applicable FPPC regulations regarding conflict of interest and determined that I do not have a material conflict of interest in this matter. In addition, I did exchange emails with the applicant's representative, Mr. McCon, and I believe all of the comments there are incorporated in the applicant's presentation this evening. In addition, I was also, I was alerted to concerns regarding the project by a neighbor, Irene Russo, at a Beautify Goleta meeting. And the concerns are reflected, that I learned are reflected in her comment letter. And those are all my disclosures.
Okay, thank you, Vice Chair Smith. I do not have any declarations. So do we have a staff report?
Yes, we do. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. My name is Brian Highfield, Associate Planner here at the City of Goleta. Give me one second. Okay, there we go. All right, so yes, the project in front of you this evening is a RV boat and contractor storage, outdoor storage at 35 Elwood Station Road. Here's an aerial view of that area. You can see Hollister on the bottom of the screen and the railroad tracks and Highway 101 to the north, and then the surrounding uses in and around there. The specific request is a major conditional use permit to allow the reuse of the site for a mix of outdoor storage uses with ancillary improvements, including remodeled bathroom, parking, security lighting, landscaping, and this is on a 4.9 acre site. The CUP would allow 170 storage spaces for recreational vehicles, boats, and then 13 contractor storage spaces. So the specific improvement plan is here. It's broken up in half just because it was fairly long, but I can zoom in here. So you can see the front of the property, or the west side, includes some driveway improvements with sidewalk, driveway apron, a block wall with a rolling gate. And then just inside the property, you can see the proposed restroom facility, which is right in here. That's a remodel of an existing building that's on the site. And then a new sewer line would come out from that building and connect to an extended sewer line under Elwood Station Road. And then the rear of the property, or the east side, includes the rest of the boat storage and the contractor storage at the very back, along with a fire department turnaround at the very end. Next, we have the landscaping plan. This landscaping plan was reviewed by the DRB a couple of different times, once at conceptual and then once prior to recommending preliminary approval to the Planning Commission. They had some recommendations for the particular type of screen vines along the north and south side, as well as some shrubs to screen it from freeway view. And then also a specific ground cover on either side of the new driveway proposed. And you can see that the shrubs go all along both the south side, which interfaces with the property to the south. Then we have some 3D renderings of what it would look like, the driveway apron and proposed landscaping here. And then another view from the other way. This view includes some of the buildings to the south of the property, just to get an idea of what that looks like. And you can see the rolling gate here with the driveway apron. There's also a person door just to the left of the rolling gate. So for CEQA purposes, staff is recommending, or staff has concluded that the project is categorically exempt from CEQA under the Class 32 exemption for infill development. Based on technical studies that were provided by the applicant and then vetted by staff. The Class 32 exemption applies to this project as it is consistent with the general plan policies and zoning regulations. The project occurs within the city limits on a developed project site that is less than 5 acres and substantially surrounded by urban uses. The project does not contain sensitive habitat and does not result in any significant impacts to traffic, noise, air quality, or water quality. And the project site can be adequately served by all required utilities and public services. The general plan and zoning designation for the property is general commercial. And this, again, this use is consistent with this designation. With the approval of the CUP. That designation does require the CUP. The project development is also consistent with development standards for this designation. And the project includes, like I said, a new sewer connection to Elwood Station. The project is also consistent with policy related to Native American resources based on an archaeological analysis that was provided by the applicant and vetted by staff and a third-party archaeologist. Project's consistent with safety element policy related to hazards and risks and flight path overlays based on an environmental site assessment provided by the applicant and vetted by staff. And the project was also reviewed by Santa Barbara Airport staff for consistency with FAA regulations and the airport land use plan. The proposed stormwater improvements are consistent with the conservation element policy based on review by staff. And the project won't cause level of service issues for city streets or intersection. Consistent with transportation element policy. It's important to note, due to the project size, the vehicle miles traveled impact threshold is not applicable to this project. And then there are no adjustments or modifications applied for with this application. One thing to note about parking as well, this particular zoning designation and does not require a minimum parking rate. There are 3 spaces proposed, but that was at their request. It wasn't a requirement. So findings for a major conditional use permit. It's nice, the value of a major conditional use requirement in this zone district. It gives us the tools to ensure that uses are compatible with the surrounding neighborhood and surrounding environment. Outdoor storage is relatively low intensive use as compared to other uses allowed in this category, such as automotive repair and wrecking, construction yards, and animal keeping. The proposed use is consistent with all other development standards, and there are no significant environmental impacts. So in conclusion, as I've stated, the project is consistent with the general plan and land use, the general plan land use and zoning designations, and the project will not result in significant effects to the environment, as stated in the notice of exemption. And the project meets all required findings for a conditional use permit, as outlined in the resolution. Therefore, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the notice of exemption and adopt the resolution approving conditional use permit 20-0003-CUP. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there an applicant presentation?
Yes, Chair and Commissioners. One thing I also wanted to note is Public Works staff is available remotely in case there are any questions that come up.
Okay, thanks. Do any of the commissioners, before we go to the applicant presentation, are there any questions for staff at this time, or should we move to the applicant presentation?
I have a couple quick questions just for clarification.
Okay.
Mr. Heffield, those, you said there are three parking spaces. Are those for the public use?
Chair and Commissioner, no, those would be for the tenants or customers of the establishment.
Okay. On the, like at the entrance or with beyond the gate, where would those?
I'll show you here in just a minute.
Spaces be?
Yeah. They are right next to the remodeled bathroom. I'll get a laser pointer here. Technology. So there, 1 ADA spot and then two parallel spots right here.
Okay. And then one more question. You said that there would be a new sewage connection?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is, you can kind of see on there the dashed line with the S on it. Goes out to the street. That's the proposed location of the new sewer line.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Heffield.
Hey, thank you. Do we have any other commissioner questions? Vice Chair Smith?
Yes. Based on comments that we received, It's my understanding that this site has had a history of illegal dumping, and it was my understanding from what I had heard from, I believe it's from city staff, that this site, it's been like one of the number one sites for illegal dumping. Is that consistent with staff's understanding?
Chair and Commissioners, I'm not aware of any of that. I did check for any zoning violations prior to preparing this staff report and did not find any active ones.
I realize it's kind of an indirect issue, but since it's come up from comments, I wanted to just make sure that I was, I don't know, consist that what I had heard was consistent across staff. I don't know if there's anybody from Public Works who may have that knowledge. Maybe not.
Is there anyone on the?
Mr. Highfield, who's the representative from Public Works?
It's Mark Schleich or Julie Jang.
Mark has raised his hand here.
We have Mark Schleich.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Mark Schleich with Public Works. regarding illegal dumping, I'm not familiar with complaints on that street per se. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Our practice and policy is when illegal dumping occurs, if residents notify us, then we schedule a pickup of that illegal dump. And like I said, this area, I don't recall as being one of those locations. So I can't confirm that it is or is not.
Thank you. Vice Chair Smith, do you have any other questions?
That's inconsistent from it was the information I had received at one of the Beautify Goleta events, which is why I brought it up. That was referenced both in comments received, both in support and against the project. So I just wanted to flag that. Then I also saw reference in one of the comments that we received, looked like there was a reference to like a previous stop work order, was that in relation to anything of this proposal, or was that a separate issue?
Chair and Commissioner, that was a separate issue. There had been a report of eucalyptus tree removals, and so that a stop work was issued in order to figure out what was going on. It was later determined that those trees weren't protected, and therefore no further permit was needed, nor was there a violation anymore.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. And then finally, in terms of the analysis of the both the question of intensity and then the environmental analysis, I think it's always tricky because, right, there's really nothing, any use at this point, right, is more use than nothing, which is what's currently, the site's not really in use. So in terms of the traffic analysis, right, my understanding is it's not comparing, you know, zero traffic, right, the analysis is done, is it my understanding, sort of in relation to, you know, the potential different types of uses that could occur in this site?
So each type of use has a trip generation that is involved, mm-hmm. and so that was performed by a consultant of the applicant and reviewed by public works staff. It was found that the trips that were generated for this particular use were below or consistent with traffic requirements, both level of service on roadway segments, but also intersections.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
And I think the applicant can probably elaborate on that.
Yes, yes. I think it's just helpful for every for those of us, you know, lay folks trying to wrap our heads around this, just to understand that analysis. Thank you. I think those are all my questions at this time.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Maynard.
Thank you, Chair Fullerton. There's a couple of quick follow-up questions. So this is also just helping me remember exactly how the policies work. So with the previous stop action that was referenced by Commissioner Smith in May 2020, where the eucalyptus trees were removed, an individual eucalyptus tree can be removed without a permit, but if there's a group of eucalyptus trees, it can potentially be a monarch habitat. Was it just determined that there were too few trees in this space to be a violation? Was that, Brian, or I don't know if that could be spoken to more by staff.
Yes, Chair and Commissioner, yes, that what you said is correct. It was not a mapped ESHA, nor was it a protected tree, so there wasn't a tool for us to go any further.
And my understanding, our ESHA policies do protect both mapped and unmapped ESHAs, but it sounds like there was just too few trees, is that correct?
Correct, and there was also not a development proposed either. So it was just kind of an individual action. I think we may have been able to take it a little further if it was in conjunction with a proposed development, but it wasn't.
So that's interesting. Maybe this might be going on a bit of a sidetrack for a second, but how do we prevent developments from separating those out if it would be more advantageous, or they have more flexibility when it's separate from a development, if it happens right before a development project? I that might be more existential, but So I guess I'm just trying to think about that in conjunction, because sometimes we do see sort of grubbing or tree removals happen when maybe a development's coming down the line. Do we have any protection against that?
I might look to Mr. Imhoff for a little guidance there.
Sure, Chair and Commissioner Maynard, there if something is required to receive a permit, then of course it has to go down a permit path. If it's something mm-hmm. that is exempt, then it doesn't require a permit. If it's development and it's proposed as part of another project, then we would include that in the project description and we could potentially condition it. But in this case, there was no, there was nothing that required that triggered a permit requirement.
Thank you. I appreciate you letting me go on that sidetrack. One question that I had asked of staff, and I'm going to sort of ask again to put onto the public record. I understand there was a number of concerns that were brought up in some of the public comment letters around dust. And in the Air Pollution Control District letter, it had used some language around recommending actions in Attachment A, and then the top of Attachment A says required. Can Mr. Heifel confirm that the Attachment A actions to reduce dust would be required of this applicant?
Yeah, that's correct. We had asked APCD to provide us some recommended conditions. After reviewing them, we liked the way they were drafted. And so when we drafted our conditions, we simply made reference to their letter and said that it applies if the project is approved.
That's all my questions of the feedback.
Have any other questions? I have just one question for staff, and you might not have an answer right away, but in terms of the traffic, if it were a different, you talked about in the presentation some of the other uses that could be in that parcel. Do you know what would the expected traffic be for some of those other uses versus what they're estimating for this project? Do we have any kind of comparison?
Chair and commissioners, I didn't run a hypothetical trip generation for other uses, but I think the project's consultant could probably give you some comparisons of more intense uses.
Okay, thanks. Do we have any other comments before we go to the applicant presentation? No questions? So let's move on to the applicant's presentation.
As Gallery Macon makes her way to the microphone, I'll pull up her presentation.
Thank you, Brian. You said my name so beautifully. Thank you.
I've heard your voice well enough times. Give me one moment.
Sure. Are you running the PowerPoint?
Thank you. Yeah.
Good evening, Chair Fullerton, members of the commission. Am I like really loud? There's like okay. My name is Gallery Macon. I'm the agent for the applicant, and this is the project, Elwood RV Boat and Contractor Storage. Next slide. I'm here today with the landowner. We have the landscape architect on Zoom, and we have the traffic engineer Scott Schell with us as well, and he'll be speaking. Next slide. I do want to thank staff. He's been great to work with, and so here's the project, 4.9 acres, and it's zoned general commercial. If you add up the total boat and RV storage and contractor storage, it's less than about 40% of the site. The rest of it is comprised of landscaping, a lot of landscaping, about 25% of the site's just landscaping. There was an associated permit with the demolition, and that included the removal of those eucalyptus trees. So it was part of a permit with the city. And the, the main objective here is an adaptive reuse of the site. They want to be able to maintain enough of the concrete surfaces and then take some of the cement that was left over, reuse it, and for permeable surfaces to create parking spots and drive surface. The driveway apron is about 50 feet, not about, it's 50 feet from the right-of-way line. So it really creates a good buffer from the street. And the landscaping in front is really going to add a nice touch to this street landscape. Let's see. And there's a beautiful 20-foot wide strip bioswale that runs the length of the entire property. So there's going to be a big stormwater management component to the project. Next slide. We found this image from 1928, thought it was interesting. We wanted to include it just so you see kind of what this area looked like 100 years ago. And you can see it was pretty bare. Next slide. One of the project components that we're proud of is the security that's going to come with it. There's going to be a 24-hour monitored system. There'll be motion-sensored lighting that will be fully shielded, dark sky compliant, and will only come on at night. The hours, operational hours, are only from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., so if there is any light that occur, it's a security risk, and they'll be notified immediately, and the on-site, or not on-site, but there's the management system is local, and they can address any issues. With improvements to the project, it will help with any potential crime or encampments or trash or vandalism. And you can see we've gotten some letters of support from the surrounding neighbors that are really happy about the new security measures. Next slide. Brian already, showed you this map of the zoning. The property is mainly abutting a business park. It's about a 25-acre business park. And they've all shown support for the project as well. It's mainly because of the security and the use, the low intense use of the site. Next slide. These are the landscaping plans that show views from Kyrielle and Highway 101. And there's existing landscaping and a berm, and it's going to be supplemented with additional screening along the property line. So that's just some views. You can see that it won't be visible from Highway 101 or Kyrielle. Next slide. This is just an existing and proposed. Next slide. And these are the same images that Brian had shown. This shows the existing views in comparison to the proposed rendering. Next slide. Just going back into the environmental impacts and what was studied with regards to traffic, Scott Shell will be up next and he'll go into greater detail because I know that's a concern. With regards to noise, the short-term construction noise will be limited in the hours. Operationally, there's very minimal noise associated. No one's allowed to maintain their vehicles or be doing repairs or vehicle idling or overnight stays. None of that is allowed. So during operation, there'll be very little noise. And then with regards to air quality, I know we've talked about that. There are several measures that will be taken during construction, which include water trucks, sprinkler systems, dust suppressants. They're going to try to schedule the clearing and grading during low wind periods and have a monitor to make sure that these dust generating activities are being adhered to. And then during operations, the only air quality concern is the traffic, and that'll be Scott can speak to that. And I spoke about the water quality with a pervious drive surface that also helps with pollutant and irrigation. Next slide. Oh, it's Scott.
You don't get that.
I will be back.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Scott Shell with Associated Transportation Engineers, and my firm prepared the traffic study that was used by staff to go through the CEQA analysis as well as the circulation element consistency work. I think Brian did a good job summarizing most of the issues, and I'm here to provide a little bit more detail. There has been some concerns raised, so we thought we should dig it into it a little bit more. So the table that you see before you shows the project trip generation. That's the first row. So we estimate that the current proposal with 183 storage spaces would generate 38 trips per day, with 6 trips in the AM peak hour and 2 trips in the PM peak hour. The reason I bring that up is that the first traffic analysis that was done actually looked at a larger project that included 255 storage spaces. So the actual analysis that was completed was on the larger project, generated over 50 trips per day. And even that analysis found no significant impacts or no inconsistency with city policies. I just wanted to put it in perspective for you, the planners. You know, how does this compare to something else? And so if you look at the table, it's about like the traffic that would be generated by 4 houses or 6 apartments, 6 mobile homes, or a 3,000 square foot office. There was a question from one of the commissioners, how would it compare to existing zoning? So if you were to put, say, 20,000 square feet of sort of retail commercial out there, you might expect somewhere to 400 to 800 trips per day, so significantly more than the 38 that we're estimating for the project. Really is one of the lower intensive land uses you could possibly have. Brian has spoke to this sort of rates we use, and really one of the lowest rates you're going to find in the trip generation book. If we go to the next slide, again, just summarizing the analysis that was completed with respect to the traffic, the 38 trips in the 6 a.m. and 2 p.m., the study indicated that there wouldn't be any inconsistencies with the county circulation element policies, which, you know, look to maintain level service C or better within the study area. Nothing exceeded with the project traffic additions. Also note that Elwood Station is a 40-foot road, so it's not narrow by any circumstance, and has adequate capacity to handle the additional traffic generated by the project. We did hear a little bit about parking earlier, so I'll touch on that even though it's not on my slide. We heard that there are 3 spaces provided, and that would be for people who want to just come in and park and maybe run to their motorhome to pick something up. Generally, when the motorhomes move, somebody comes in and drops you off, and they either leave or they park in the space that you vacated. So, they don't generate a lot of demand. Gallery did indicate when we were discussing the project earlier that we had that 50-foot wide apron at the entry, and the southern portion of that is really designed to actually accommodate a couple more cars. So if you wanted to park, there's a pedestrian access gate that comes in next to the main rolling vehicle gate, so you could actually park out front, run in and drop something off or pick something up and come back to your car. So in addition to the three on site, there are two more out front in front of the gate. The last slide for me is VMT. We heard some discussion about that from Brian as well as in the CEQA document. As Brian had stated, the project is screened out from requiring a detailed VMT analysis, and I've put the policy and the screening criteria on this slide. It basically says if you have less than 110 trips per day and you're consistent with the general plan, you're screened out from doing the VMT analysis. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but we've got the 38 ADT, which is underneath the 110 ADT screening threshold. Just on a more qualitative basis, as an RV owner who's searched many years to find convenient and close RV parking, it is a much needed facility in Goleta. And I think we can sort of imagine that currently, without this facility, people from Goleta are driving much further to store their vehicle. For a period of time, I had to drive all the way to Lake Kachuma and use their outdoor storage there. So I think this is going to provide a benefit. And we heard about the need for this type of storage facility in light of the new oversized vehicle ordinance that was enacted by the city of Goleta a year or two ago. So that concludes my presentation. I will be here for questions, and I'm going to turn it back to Gallery to close off our discussion.
Hi. So in conclusion, I just wanted to touch on the merits again. There is a much needed use for contractor storage yards. It isn't the prettiest use, but there is a need, and I give them a lot of credit for doing it the legal way and getting the permits, especially for our RV and boat storage too. What Scott was saying and your new zoning ordinance, people need a place to park them, and we think this is a great site. There's going to be significant site improvement, beautification. This is infill development, and it does have neighborhood support from the business park around there, and also the ownership of the mobile home park. If you go to the next slide, you can see the properties outlined in green that have provided letters of support for the project. And with that, I'm here for questions, and thank you for your consideration.
Great, thank you. Do we have any commissioner questions? Vice Chair Smith?
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I teased out a few of the questions I had submitted by email. So I wanted to confirm that because this is storage, is it correct that there's no there's no hookups that are at the storage site? Is that correct?
Commissioner Smith, that is correct. There are no utilities. There are no hookups. There's no water. It's strictly for storage.
Okay. And then for me, I am not an RV owner, but my understanding is that so the idea of an unmanned storage space was new to me. But is it correct that the applicant has a similar facility? Can you speak to what the experience has been there?
Sure, and I the owner come up and talk about it.
Yes, thank you.
So we do currently own another storage facility on Kellogg. It's called AAA Storage. It's behind the Honda dealership. I think we have about 180 units or spaces there. We currently have about a 30 to 40 person waiting list for someone to exit so that they can obviously store their vehicle there. And again, like the traffic study had produced, we also have gate monitoring there where you have to put a code in to get into the gate so we can monitor everyone that comes in and whoever leaves so that we can make sure that obviously the right people are coming in and coming out, and so we can also track who comes and goes so we can see the actual traffic that goes in and out. And it's very consistent with the study.
Great, thank you.
Sure.
Do you have any other questions?
That was it for me, thank you.
Do you have any other questions for any of the other commissioners? Commissioner McLaren?
So I have a couple of questions. I would ask the applicant, it seems like, yes, also from the public comments that we've received, is the street large enough, Elwood Station large enough for RVs and whatnot to maneuver? Because I know also people park their cars on that street as well. So is there any danger of the street being possibly too narrow?
Commissioner, we studied that as part of our design review board hearing, and we did some truck turning analysis and showed that it does work for that street.
Also, I guess this is a question more for Scott, but is there, or what would there be, if there is there a foreseeable possibility of there being more than 38 trips per day?
Madam Chair, Commissioners, the way that we developed our traffic estimates was by actually going to the Kellogg storage facility, the AAA facility, and getting a couple months worth of data from their electronic gate. And so it was very, very, you know, obviously local. And so it is an average. There could be some days when there's 45 and there could be some days where there's 27. It is an average over several months. So it's likely to fluctuate anywhere from 10 to 15% per day. But it's not going to be doubled. So it's going to be a fairly consistent and range around a 38.
Okay, thank you.
And hey, And do you have any other questions?
No, that concludes my questions. Thank you.
I have a follow-up to that for Ms. Rochelle. Is there any analysis on the type of traffic going in and out? Like, is it primarily more contractors going in day to day? Or I guess I'm curious how often, if people are storing boats or RVs, how often are they moving RVs or boats versus just like a work truck going in and out? Do you have any kind of information on that?
Madam Chair, Commissioners, we didn't get a breakdown of the specific vehicle type or user type from the records. I can just tell you from a personal experience. I have a friend of mine who has an RV, and he says, Scott, I'm going to use it once a month for a whole year. And so I said, that's pretty active. And so, you know, put it in those terms, I think the storage yard, the contracted storage yards are going to be a little bit more active per stall than would be the RV and boat. So I would say that, you know, maybe, you know, there's 13 contractor storage yards, and they may account for a third of the traffic. Versus, you know, a straight ratio of 13 over 183. So that's the contractor versus the total storage yard. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
And one other question about security. Is there security that goes in just randomly to monitor to make sure that there aren't people staying in the RVs at night or in the facility when they shouldn't be? Or is it only based on people coming in and out of the gates with the pin codes.
Chair Fullerton, I failed to mention there is a evening patrol that would come in and make sure that there's no one staying there. And so it's not just relying on the lights. So if there's anyone out there, they'll be informed. Authorities will be informed. And just to touch on the contractor storage, a large majority of them are going to be for contractors that have equipment that will store it when they're not under construction. It's a place where they leave their equipment, and then when they get a job, they will take their equipment and leave it at the job site. And then when they're done, they can go back and put it back. It's not a daily thing that they're coming and constantly grabbing machinery and equipment. That would be cost prohibitive. It's more of a storage for a period of time.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any other commissioner questions? Commissioner Maynard.
I'm not sure if this is a question for Mr. Highfield or Ms. Macon, but there's a little bit of a discrepancy in numbers, and I'm hoping y'all can help me with this. So in the applicant presentation, it was described as 38 average daily trips a day, but in the staff report, particularly on page 7 under traffic, it talks about 53 average daily trips a day. Is there a reason why we're seeing both the 38 and the 53? Yeah, so this slide says 38, but the staff report says 53 on page 7.
Chair and Commissioner, yes, I can fill that one. As Mr. Schell mentioned earlier, the original traffic study was for a larger project, and that's the numbers that were used. I think the ending project that's before you is actually smaller than what was studied originally. So that's the discrepancy in numbers.
Thank you, Mr. Highfield. That helped a lot. Thank you. Well, that's all my questions right now. I'd love to hear public comment and then go on from there.
Okay. So let's move to public comment. Ms. Gregory, do we have any members of the public who would like to speak?
Chair Fullerton, we have at this time four people: Kaylin Baird, Irene Russo, Steve Hayes, and Teddy Gallegos. And also I see Brian Borgatello raising his hand. And Kaylin Baird, if you wish to speak, would you please raise your hand so we can, there he is. Okay, he'll be the first one to speak.
Hi everyone, I apologize for the premature testimony earlier. I just wanted to reiterate support for these applicants. They're clearly qualified to operate this type of business, and they're kind of professional history in the community ripples wide and far. And so I just wanted to continue as a local community member and local business owner, I just want to voice support for these applicants.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Baird.
Next is Irene Russo, who's here, should be here.
Ms. Russo just let me know that she had to leave early, but would submit her comments in writing afterwards.
Okay, she said she will submit her comments in writing. The next person is Steve Hayes, who is in the audience.
Thank you. I'll be brief. Thank you. My name's Steve Hayes. I'm the managing partner of Hayes Commercial Real Estate. And believe it or not, I founded that company, and I'm now in my 41st year strictly in commercial real estate leasing and investment sales, with a very large emphasis in Goleta. And in fact, I sold you this building. And originally leased it back in the mid-80s. We continue to get calls as a company from contractors and other tenants looking for outside storage. And I really believe this proposed project fills that need. I think it's a challenging requirement sometimes because there is real demand from these types of users. And the problem is most of these types of users end up, you know, putting storage containers in parking lots or in different places where they don't belong And so I think that this is a wonderful use for this piece of land. We've handled, we continue to handle all the leasing and the recent sales of all the buildings surrounding the park. And I know that all the tenants there are in favor of this. So as sites also continue to be developed in Goleta, our local contractors, boat owners, RV tenants, they continue to get pushed out of the market. And I think that this site would be a welcome amenity to our community. And I think it's a very sensible location for it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
The next person is Steve. Oh, excuse me, Steve Hayes. Teddy Calegos? Cabudos.
Almost.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me speak today. I don't know how to follow up that any better, but that was a great presentation. And kind of reiterating the many positives of the project, but those have already been stated. I will just tell you about the people that are going to be your neighbors and coming into it, Travis and Alistair. They're just not only spectacular humans in this community, they've done so much for the community. 1805, which has raised millions of dollars for our first responders after the Montecito mudslides. Just what they do for their employees, all of their operations are first class. Their employees love them, their neighbors love them. And again, beautifying the neighborhood, bringing much needed tax revenues into the city of Goleta. And you couldn't ask for better people to come into the city, which are, they're already here, but to be the neighbors. So major, major support for the applicants and this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person is Brian Bergatello. Would you please unmute yourself?
Yes, good evening, members of the Planning Commission. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak on behalf of the proposed project at 35 Elwood Station Road. My name is Brian Borricello, and I'm a business owner here in Santa Barbara with several outdoor storage yards for strictly for our own company use. I'm frequently approached by individuals that are in desperate need for outdoor storage similar to what's being proposed at this site. In most cases, I'm being told that finding a secure and legal site to store an RV or boat is practically impossible without going to Ventura. With that being said, I'd like to give my full support for the proposed upgrade at this property in front of you this evening. This use at this site would greatly benefit the Santa Barbara community. Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
The next person is Ash Ryan, and you have 3 minutes. Can you unmute yourself?
Hello, sorry.
You're muted again.
There you go. Can you hear me now? Sorry about that. My name's Ash Ryan. I'm a Goleta local. I own a boat. And once I heard about this project coming along, I've always struggled to find a place to put my boat, to store it where it could be safe. I've had times where it's been vandalized or kind of like broken into. So finding a place where I'll be able to store it safely and looking at the project and seeing the plans where it looks, the site looks beautiful as in itself. So very confident that when I store my boat there, it'll be safe and secure. So I'm 100% in approval of this project, being that I'll be able to store my boat locally and get to it whenever I need to, because right now I just kind of float between, you know, friends' houses and different various storage yards, but somewhere that I can have it locally will be just a great convenience for me and much appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan.
There are no other persons at this time. Chair Fullerton.
Okay, then let's go back to Commissioner comments and questions. Commissioner Maynard.
just to ask a quick process question, just make sure everybody in the public kind of knows where we are in the process before we close public comment entirely. My understanding, and if Mr. Highfield could confirm this, is that the Planning Commission does have jurisdiction over the requested CUP, and so we will be making a decision tonight on this project. It may be appealed to the City Council, but this will be the initial decision point. Is that correct, Mr. Highfield?
Chair and Commissioner, that is correct, yes.
Okay. I only wanted to point that out because I believe Ms. Russo had mentioned potentially submitting additional comments in written form, and that would be after we make our decision. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody in the public, including Ms. Russo, knows that if you have anything that you want us to know before we make the decision, we do really need to hear that tonight. But we did, Ms. Russo, receive your written public comment ahead of the meeting.
Chair Fullerton, we have one more hand raised. It's Jaime Melgoza.
Okay. Mr. Melgoza?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
You hear me loud and clear?
Loud and clear.
Okay, hi. My name is Jaime Melgoza. I'm a business owner for the past 30 years in Santa Barbara and Goleta. This project, I tell you, it is one project that needs to be here, especially in Goleta. I own a boat, I own a motorhome. There is absolutely no place to park anything. It's been a long haul for myself. I had to put my boat up in Paso Robles because there's nothing down here. This project is a blessing for everybody in Goleta and even in Santa Barbara. As a business owner, this is one thing that's needed. There's no construction yards anymore. There's nowhere to park boats, and there's no motorhome areas. I'm 100% behind this project.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Melgoza.
Thank you.
Does anyone else want to speak? Please click on the hand raise icon now. There's no one else, Chair Fullerton.
Thank you. Okay, back to Commissioner comments, discussion.
I just had one more quick question. I think it's maybe best directed to the applicant. There was reference to a neighborhood meeting. Is that correct? I just didn't know if anything in the proposal changed after that meeting or if the proposal is the same. You might have to press a button.
It's on now. Okay, thank you. Commissioner Smith, I should have spoke about that. We did have a neighborhood meeting last week, Thursday, and we brought blow-ups of the plans, and it was really just an attempt on the applicant, on behalf of the applicant, to present the project and hear from the neighborhood and just provide information about the project. And I think it was very helpful. We spent a good amount of time with a lot of people, and I think it was a very successful meeting.
Great, thank you.
Should we go ahead and close public comment before we start deliberations? Is there any final public comment? It doesn't sound like it.
No, Chair Fullerton.
Thank you. So let's go ahead and close the public comment and start deliberations. Do any commissioners want to start? Okay, Commissioner Maynard.
I'll start actually with one thing that we haven't discussed a lot tonight, but was in the staff report. In the staff report, it said that the design review board had recommended that the planning commission grant preliminary design approval with the comment that additional landscaping be added to the front perimeter wall to the left of the access gate and door. And I did double check with staff on this, and if we wanted to encourage that to be a part of the proposal, we would need to add that to our motion. I'm inclined to take the design review board's advice on that and add that to any motion tonight. So I wanted to note that. Overall, I'll say I have been a planning commissioner for a bit of time, and I was here when we were discussing the new zoning ordinance and particularly the RV regulations in the zoning ordinance. And I did hear substantially from both community members who aren't a big fan of RVs, as well as community owners that own RVs, about the need for RV storage. Because obviously the folks that own RVs are quite excited about the opportunity for RV storage, we also heard from a lot of community members who weren't fans of RVs that wanted to see them parked in a space off of the street and outside of driveways. And this would provide that opportunity. So I'm not surprised that some of the applicants and proponents presentations have talked about how extensive this need is in the community. We certainly saw that when we were working on the new zoning ordinance. So I hear the need there. I heard concerns from the community around transportation impacts, and so I looked very carefully at those numbers and at the staff report on that. And I do note that there's a temptation always to sort of compare not doing anything, but we can't tell a property owner not to do anything with their property. I think we do need to give an opportunity for a property owner to be able to do something with the property. And when compared to other uses that are allowable within the zoning district, this is one of the lowest impact transportation uses available within the zoning or use. So I have a hard, it would be difficult for me to argue that transportation should be the reason not to move forward with this project, as this is the lowest impact transportation I think we may see for this project or for this land. I noted that there was a no hazardous storage allowed on the site, and also increased security and cleaning of the area. And I think those are strong reasons to potentially do the project. I was concerned about the stop order that was mentioned in the public comment letter, but do feel that staff has addressed the concern about whether there was a previous violation, and that does seem to be resolved at this point in time. And so that was resolved for me. There's also concerns in public comment related to dust, and I believe the Air Pollution Control District's requirements and the fact that we're building those requirements into the condition of approval also addresses that concern. So those are my notes for the moment.
Thank you. Vice Chair Smith?
Yes, thank you. I wanted to thank staff for their detailed report and the applicant for their information that they shared. Both in advance and at this meeting. I think overall I lean in support of the project. Ultimately the residents of the mobile home park will feel any impacts from the project the most, and I just wanted to acknowledge it can be difficult for folks to come out to meetings or attend. But I believe based on the information that we've received, it's interesting, the question of sort of, this question of the illegal dumping, certainly if there is a developed use and engagement of the property illegal, that will certainly deter any illegal dumping at that site. But I know that has been a longstanding concern of residents in that area, so I did want to flag that. And I think that type of thing, and even if resolved a stop work order, it can make residents, you know, it raises red flags just for, I think, for residents in terms of trust, building trust in the community. So I'm grateful that the applicant did hold a meeting, and I hope that communication, you know, continues if there are any complaints or concerns raised by residents. I did want to note, I thought that there was a interesting question raised about sidewalks on that street. It's not within the scope of discussion this evening. That is typically, you know, an item that, you know, a city council with Public Works and their analysis in terms of all the different sidewalk projects across the city to do an analysis. Flag that, you know, in terms of that concern being raised. And we know that there's people, there's a couple unique things about this site. There are people, there's students who walk or bike ride down to the Elwood School. We also have the train tracks, so the right of way for the train and the Amtrak service. And then there's also nearby the state and like CHP right of way as well, which is not too far. I know right sometimes along that stretch there's been fires. There's some interesting dynamics there in terms of even if a problem nearby the property arose, even who do you contact or those sorts of things. So those are some unique features of that neighborhood and area that, you know, may have some differences from the Kellogg area. But, you know, when factoring everything in, and I think looking specifically at all the various conditions that are laid out as part of the CUP, the city will, you know, have that conditions list to go from if there are, you know, concerns raised. So on balance, I would lean in support of the project.
Commissioner McLaren, do you have any comments?
I do. I want to start off and thank the public for their comments. I am pleased that we have folks who are concerned about their community and their living spaces and take the time out to, you know, address the necessary government bodies when they have concerns. So I appreciate Ms. Russo's letter and her work in gathering signatures for this petition. I want to say that all public comments that were received, you know, I read them all, and I value each person's comment. And additionally to the public comment, I also know that we do have a need, as the other folks spoke in public comment, for RV storage and boat storage, and also for the contractors to store their materials as well. I think it was Commissioner Maynard, possibly, who was talking about that when these codes were written a couple years ago, that it was, in a sense, brought us to today, where we are now required to find space to park these large vehicles. There is also a large need, and from looking at the staff report and hearing also the analysis of the traffic, which I think was one of the biggest complaints regarding this project, that it's really not going to have a large impact traffic-wise. And right now, I know another complaint that was lodged in the public comments was about the dust, but right now it's basically a barren site, so actually it being paved over and landscaped is actually going to reduce that dust from what's going on currently. So I see that as a plus to this project. I'm in favor of this project, I would say.
Okay, thank you. And I, you know, echo a lot of the comments that everyone else has made. I did you know, read all of the public comment and really took it to heart. And I understand and empathize with everybody's concerns, how this is going to potentially affect their, you know, their homes and their lives. But, and the traffic, you know, is definitely a big concern. But I think after hearing the staff reports and the applicant reports and getting more information, especially on the comparison between what the other potentials could be in that space, I think this is, you know, unless they do nothing with it, this is probably the best scenario and the best end result for everybody. So I do, you know, hope that these estimates are accurate and it really does not affect the neighborhood as much. But overall, again, with I watched all those meetings with the Planning Commission, City Council meetings when there were the hearings about the RVs, and I don't have an RV, but I was pretty shocked actually how many people have RVs and are very concerned about that. So I think this is a much needed project, and I think it would be a good benefit to the community. So I do support this project. So do Commissioner Maynard.
Are you ready for a motion?
I'm ready for a motion.
I'm attempting a motion so I can add the BRB piece and see.
Sorry, Chair Fullerton, can you please close the public hearing before the motion?
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll close the public hearing.
I make a motion to pass the resolution number 22 entitled a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, finding the project categorically exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act under State CEQA Guidelines Section 15332 and approving conditional use permit to allow 170 space recreational vehicle and boat and 13 space contractor outdoor storage use by Alistair Wynn of 35 Elwood Station Road, LLC, to be located at 35 Elwood Station Road, Goleta, California, APN 079-210-066, case number 20-0003-CUP. And I would also like to add a requirement that the landscape plan submitted for final approval to the Design Review Board include the additional language the additional landscaping as described in the DRB meeting minutes of May 10th, 2022.
Do we have a second?
Just real quick, did we want to discuss what was going to be required landscape-wise for that left side of the entrance?
Can we get that? Read back what were in the DRB minutes and stuff. Read that section back.
Chair and commissioners, I can summarize the minutes. They had wanted a vine of some sort. I don't recall the specific vine, but they wanted a vine that would spread across the block wall on the left side of the person door. To just provide a little bit extra screening, but also some visual improvement. I might offer that, you know, specifics could be left to the DRB at final in terms of the specific plant species.
Okay.
With this revision, would that extend the project in any particular way? Or more so the permitting process, I guess, is my real question.
Chair and commissioners, no, the project would be returning to final DRB regardless. So this would just be basically the Planning Commission agreeing with their preliminary ruling that more landscaping was needed on that part of the wall.
Thank you, Mr. Helfeld.
Do we have any other discussion on the motion, or do we have a second?
I second that motion with the amendment there.
Okay, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner McLaren?
Aye.
Commissioner Maynard?
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith?
Aye.
Chair Fullerton?
Aye. Motion approved. The next item is the director's report. Mr. Imhoff?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a few items to report. First off, on our upcoming schedule, there will be no meeting on August 8th. We have no items that evening, so our next meeting will be August 22nd. Also, this Wednesday, we are going to be celebrating the completion of the City Hall solar photovoltaic project out back with a ribbon cutting, which will take place at 10 a.m. in the City Hall parking lot. All are invited. And one new staff member who will be there will be our new sustainability manager, Dana Murray, who steps into the shoes left behind by her predecessor, and will be excited to see Cindy Moore there as well. Then I also wanted to alert the commission that on Saturday, August 20th from 5 to 7 p.m., the city will be hosting a dam dinner at Lake Los Carneros Dam. This is a really fun event, which is coming back for the first time in 3 years. It's a free community event that brings together friends and neighbors. Tables and chairs are set up by the dam with breathtaking views of Lake Los Carneros and the mountains, and attendees are encouraged to bring their own picnic dinner and beverages or purchase food from Alubia's Kitchen. And this special event also includes live music from local bluegrass group, the Salt Martians, who have been at the dam dinner before. So we hope that the commission and any interested members of the public can join us for that. I also wanted to alert the commission to a new appointment to the Design Review Board. Cecilia Brown will be our newest Design Review Board member, and we welcome her to that appointment and are excited to work with her. And then finally, as you may have heard or read, the city has selected a new city manager to replace retiring Michelle Green, who will be leaving at the end of August. The new city manager will be Robert Nesbitt, and he begins, I understand, on September 1st. That concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Next is Planning Commission comments. Do we have any comments from the Planning Commissioners?
I just had a question for Mr. Imhoff. I didn't know if there was any estimate or known date for the Heritage Ridge project to come back to Planning Commission.
Thank you for that question, Commissioner Smith. And we are hopeful that we'll be able to bring that back in August. That is our target date, but we are still working out some of the details on that project, and the exact schedule will depend on our progress in working through those remaining issues.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? Can we get a motion for adjournment?
I will move to adjourn.
Second? My second? I'll second. Okay, can we get a roll call vote?
Commissioner McLaren?
Do I say present or aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Commissioner Maynard? Vice Chair Smith?
Aye. And I believe we heard Commissioner Maynard also say aye.
And Chair Fullerton?
Aye. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all.
Good night.